If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Gimbel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.
In Isaiah 43, God identifies himself in verse 14 as the Lord, Yahweh, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 15, again, the identification, the Lord, your Holy One. Then he changes from the Holy One of Israel to the Creator of Israel, your King. Then he goes on to verse 18, after he reveals himself in verses 14 and 15, in verse 18, he says, forget the past. Healing cannot begin until you forget the past. The anointing is hindered and limited when you hold on to past pains. Yes, someone did something wrong to you.
I was praying and talking to God about some issues, and I was really praying about this love thing in 1 Corinthians 13. It became part of my morning devotion for 5 days. And I'm reading this thing and reading and reading it and going back to the Bible, seeing something. And I began to hear from God that a misapplication of love makes us hard-hearted. And I started thinking, I said, Lord, what do you mean by that? He said, you notice a lot of Christians will say, get over it. There's nothing in the Bible that says get over it. Get over it is a way of saying, I don't want to hear it. And yet the Bible calls us to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters and to literally go through with them until they're able to stand. You that are strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. If someone is overtaken in a fall, don't tell them to get over it and grow up. He said, you that are strong, bear that infirmity. If someone is overtaken in a fall, restore them. And restoration is a process, not a one-time application. It means you call them, you reach out to them, you do exactly what Paul says in Romans about if your enemy is hungry, you feed them. If they're thirsty, you give them the drink. And while you're doing this, you're putting fire on their head. And that's not judgment. We misinterpret that. Fire isn't judgment. Fire is a realization of the love that's living in you. You're bringing them to a place where they can no longer fight you. Jesus had no enemies, but there were people who made him their enemy. You know why Jesus didn't have any enemies? Because you can't walk in the love of God and have people with whom you are at war. Can't do it. Your body is not made to demonstrate love and bitterness at the same time. It is the most conflicting, paradoxical reality that you and I can ever face. It won't work. Listen to God in Isaiah, the messianic prophet. Remember ye not the former things? The King James says, neither consider the things of old. In other words, don't keep rehashing. I want you to hear me. If you do physically, if you're incapable of being here, make sure you get that CD. But listen carefully. We are all familiar with generational curses, so much so that we've made a religion of the concept, and we've made an excuse of the reality. Well, you know, I'm under a generational curse. All right, listen to me carefully. There are two things that influence your behavior. One is genetic influence, which means that the seed of your parents, most likely your father, has given you characteristics. The characteristics of the father are passed on through the semen. The characteristics of the mother are passed on in the physical concept. The behavior of the mother is learned. The behavior of the father is inherited. It is now scientifically proven. If your father and his lineage share alcoholism, that gene has been passed to you. It has been passed on to you. This is funny. If you suffer from loss of hair, right? You suffer from loss of hair and you're beginning to go bald. As my mother used to say, you get a halo. That gene doesn't come from your father's side. It comes from your mother's side. The way to tell if you're going to be bald is to see if your mother's father was bald and if it's bald on that side. Because that gene comes from the matriarchal side, not the patriarchal side. But the behavior genes come from the patriarchal side, the father's side. But watch this. The generational curses that we have made an excuse for our behavior is scientifically valid. We don't understand the concept of generational curses. Generational curses have nothing to do with genetic inheritances. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Generational curses have nothing to do with genetic inheritances. It is not a curse that you inherit a certain genetic, listen to my phrase, ability. Now, here's the funny thing. God doesn't change your genetics. He doesn't change your DNA. Every now and then, your daddy's behavior kicks back in, and you have to repent. And then you wonder where it came from. I just got finished speaking in tongues and go outside and cuss like a sailor in the Philippines. Listen carefully. You are now filled with the Holy Spirit who does not change your DNA. Can't. Can't. Because it would violate his principle of like giving birth after its kind. So scientists have fought with this for years, and Pentecostal Christians, whenever we can't get along with something in the scientific world, we create a false doctrine. So we've created generational curses. That's not what God was talking about. Simply because I share some of the characteristics of Eric Sr., I'm not cursed. So now the question has approached us. It has been argued in schools of theological discussion and in Christian circles. Then how do we deal with this? So the Pentecostals say, get filled with the Holy Spirit. So we push you to this evidentiary movement of the Holy Ghost. So the evidence of him being in there is tongues. And once again, it's a perversion and an old wineskin. The evidence of him being in there is not tongues, because Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, I can speak with tongues of men and of angels, but if I don't have the evidence of him being in there, love, then I'm making noise. So then it becomes apparent that the tongues are no longer evidence of the Holy Spirit. So what do I do with all this baggage, this propensity to drink? Why do you struggle but yet can't find victory? So the Christian, again, in their willingness to help you, grabs the old wineskin of demonizing. So you have a drinking demon. So what that does is it takes the responsibility off of you and puts it on to the devil and to the exorcist. The exorcist is the pastor or the minister who then becomes gifted or graced in what we call deliverance. Deliverance is the responsibility of every Christian. God has not highlighted a group of people to deal with demons. That would weaken your position in God. That would mean that when the devil comes to assault you or attack you at night and you're by yourself, you're going to have to reach out for those people who have that gift, but you can deal with it yourself. These signs shall follow the believer. So based on that reality, all of us have deliverance ministry. We've created the demon concept. We've identified an eating demon for those who lack dietary discipline. Why is food so addictive? Because food, like so many other external things, plays to the pleasure center of the brain. What makes that young man or that young woman become addicted to drugs? Because the first high is your greatest high, and it releases a level of endorphin response that they continuously seek. That's why they keep going back. But the second high is never as good as the first one. It's like, that's why God tells you to stay a virgin till you get married if possible. Because you become promiscuous looking for that same level of intimacy that you had at the first time. You'll never find it because it was a special gift. So the devil has been getting into people saying, go ahead, do it. But there was a reason that God said to keep your virtue. It had nothing to do with all of this Western philosophy. It was to save you from emotional distress because he knew your bodies and your minds could not handle grabbing it, letting it go, being forced to live without it, and wanting it. You can no more want it, get it, release it, and not want it again, no more than you can eat one cashew, one salted peanut. So what we do is God's trying to put in revelation of me, new wine. That's what Jesus came to do. He said, I've come to reveal the Father. But he couldn't get through the old wineskin called Phariseeism. And what did the Pharisees do? Every time they dealt with Jesus, every time they talked with Jesus, they brought old theory. They brought a woman to Jesus that was taken in the middle of adultery. What did Jesus say? He said, all right, you're right. She should be stoned. But this is the heart of God. Only those of you that haven't sinned, stoner. Jesus never told you you shouldn't judge another person. Read the context. He said, however, before you reach and take that splinter out of their eye, take the log out of yours. Why? Because the splinter that you're seeing in them comes from the log that's in your eye. Character judgment comes from your lack of character. But if you see things through the eyes of God, you can't judge.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
1216A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. Here's what he does. He won't get you to sin, but he desensitizes you to holiness. After watching the devil's stuff all week and enjoying it, you cannot come in here and lift your hands and worship God. The Bible said, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? They that have clean hands and a pure heart." You'll sit there and say, oh, the praise team ain't moving me. No, no, it's you that are dead to the praises because you've allowed Satan to fill your mind with all manner of ungodliness. You've become the cesspool of the devil. You become ignorant of the devil's devices. He can't take salvation from you, but he can mess up your fellowship.
Be inspired to strengthen your relationship with the Lord and become the leader you were called to be when you read Bishop Lambert's new book, The Christian and the Culture. It is Bishop Lambert's desire for believers to recognize the importance of continuing to seek God despite facing the obstacles of today's culture. This encouraging publication will challenge you to reevaluate your life as a follower of Christ and renew your faith in the Lord. Visit Amazon.com or ChristianandTheCulture.com to purchase your copy of this compelling writing from Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. For more information, call 215-885-2585.